Today's episode is brought to you by Native, a clean deodorant that smells great and simply works. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code BRAIN during checkout. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I am here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. All right, so this is going to be a little bit of a grab bag episode. I have, 300 emails in my inbox, and I got to go through them and try to get some of these questions that have been sitting in there for a while answered. So if you've sent me an email, I've said this before, it's going to sit a while because I just get a ton of them. But I keep them all and I try to answer them all. So if I don't hear, or if you don't hear this on an episode, you'll get a direct reply or something eventually. But I'm still doing my best to continue keeping up with you. And you know, you do your best, right? I think that's a great lesson. There's the first lesson today. You just do your best. You got to do what you can do. And so today's episode, without further ado, is going to start with this email from someone I'm just going to call everyone Mary or Joe or whatever. Mary says, "Your podcast is great to listen to and always insightful, even when it doesn't directly apply to anything I can relate to. Keep up the awesome job." Well, thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. My question is this. On your show, you often touch on needing to spend time alone, outside of a relationship, to learn who you are and what you want. I've been in therapy where this has been something pressed. However, what about the opposite problem? I've been single for what feels like forever, with casual encounters scattered throughout that time. I can't make any real connections, and when it feels like I am, it's never reciprocated and things end. So I suppose what I'm trying to get at is, how do I build a healthy and lasting relationship with myself? Thanks." You know, that is the golden question, I think. And that is the question I try to answer every week. How do you build the best relationship with yourself? I do believe, or I know, it does start with the relationship with yourself. You honor yourself, you do what you need to do that's right for you, and you also become more authentic with other people, because as you get to know yourself, that person that you're getting to know inside of you, you want to share with others. And sometimes that's the scary part. You get to know yourself. Hey, I like sci-fi. Hey, I want to read books. Hey, I want to play video games. Hey, I want to drive across the country. I mean, you get to know yourself and what you like to do. And then you share who you are and what you like with others as you meet them. Of course, this involves getting out of the house. If you don't get out of the house too much, if you're an introvert like me, I'll admit, I don't leave the house that much. I do my show in my home studio office. And when I get out, I connect with people and I talk with people, and it's not like I'm trying to hide. It's just, I do a lot of stuff from home, so it's a lot easier for me. But when I do get out, it is rewarding in many ways because I get to meet people. I get to talk to people. But my point is, when you get out of the house and you do the things that you like, then you end up meeting people that also do the things that they like that just happen to be what you like. Now, the problem comes when you like to read at home alone and be by yourself, it's hard to connect with other people. And like I said, when you are a homebody or an introvert, and you're not necessarily jazzed about going out and meeting other people, that's probably not going to be the best way to build relationships. Now, what Mary, not her real name, is asking me is, how do I build a healthy and lasting relationship with myself? You know, that's a good question. I don't know if I have the best answer for that, except to know yourself so well is to dig into your pain. And I might have said that backwards. To dig into your pain is actually to know yourself well. What is your pain? What is it about? Where does it come from? What are you holding on to? How about any unresolved emotions or trauma? I think you start to know yourself when you start to process and start to heal from this unresolved or unfinished business that you carry around. It's like I heard the story of somebody yesterday. I think it was some Mike Tyson. It was one of the boxers, George Foreman. He wrote a book and he decided that he was going to call or get in touch with everyone that he wronged and everyone that wronged him, and to apologize to them or forgive them. And I think that's an AA step as well. You make amends. But he decided to do that and he said it changed his life. So I thought that was inspiring, and talk about vulnerable. That's another way to get to know yourself, is to be vulnerable around others, to find out what comes up when you do that. You don't do it with dangerous people, but you do it with most people if you can, if you want to. You be vulnerable and you discover who you are. And as you do this with other people, you learn about yourself. That's not to say you can't learn about yourself alone, but it is hard to get the reflection of who you are without other people in your life. So if you do or don't like to go out and you don't meet other people, you may not necessarily get the reflection of who you are. And that's a great way to get to know yourself. You get the reflection by showing up as yourself, by honoring yourself, by being who you are to the best of your ability as you learn, as you grow, as you heal, as you get through this stuff and figure this stuff out, more and more of you is going to come out. The more authentic you're going to be, because you're getting in touch with yourself by getting feedback from others. You're not necessarily asking for it. You just show up as how you think and feel in the moment, and you find out how people respond to it. That's usually the scariest part. When I show up as myself, I'm either going to turn someone off or turn someone on, or they're not going to care at all. And no matter how they show up is great, because it's feedback for you. Oh, they didn't like what I said. Oh, they were really PO'd at what I said. Or they really laughed about what I just said or at what I just said. And you get this feedback and it gives you a feeling inside. And this feeling is a good indicator of people that you'll resonate with and people that you won't resonate with. And the people that don't resonate with you, they're not going to want to be around you. And the people that do resonate with you will want to be around you. And this I can liken to business. Like when I create something in the business world, I want to be as what they call niched down as possible, meaning I want to be very specific. So in the business world, I'll create the Mean Workbook, which is part of the Love and Abuse podcast, and it is about emotionally abusive relationships and assessing if you are in one and pinpointing what characteristics and behaviors make up one and if those characteristics are in your relationship. So I created this workbook with a very specific goal in mind to assess and evaluate the relationship. I didn't create the workbook to tell you what type of relationship you have, which could be a number of types. I created the workbook to help you identify if you have a specific type of relationship, this specific type. And so how this relates to who you're being in a moment with someone else, the more specific you are about who you are, the more feedback you'll get that will be helpful to you, meaning the people that you resonate with versus the people that you don't resonate with. And the people that you resonate with will want to build long-term relationships with you. And the people that you don't resonate with, you bid them farewell, you wish them well, and they go off and find other people that resonate with them. And yes, you might not resonate with 98% of the people that you meet. That's another tough part, because I find this problem. I don't necessarily, resonate's probably the wrong word, but, synchronize, where when you talk, you feel like you're talking to your brother or your sister or your best friend that you can really relate to, and on every level. They get you and you get them. I don't think there's that many people out there that are just like that, perfect for you, which is why, yes, it is hard to develop strong bonds in your relationships, because you have a limited selection of people that are going to be like you and connect with you at that level. But that's why you niche down inside yourself and be more specific about who you are to other people. Because anyone can say, nice weather we're having, isn't it? Which isn't very specific, unless you're a meteorologist talking to another meteorologist. But what if you said, I like golf, and I like to play golf every Sunday? If you said that, let's just say that 90% of the people that you said that to are going to be like, oh, that's nice. But the 10% that you connect with or talk to somewhere out there are going to say, I like golf too. Whoa, good thing I brought up golf. This is what I mean by niching down and being more specific and being very clear about who you are to others. I like to build model airplanes. I like to play video games. I like to read a book by myself. I like to read books by myself too. But you have to meet other people in order to get that feedback. And you also have to be vulnerable enough, because sometimes it feels vulnerable, to tell people what you like. Oh, they're not going to like me because I play video games. How do you know? Everyone I know has a cell phone, and every person I know that has a cell phone has a video game on it. So almost all of us are video game players now. Maybe not you, maybe not this audience, I don't know. But so many people play games. And so it used to be a thing where you'd say, oh, you play video games? What are you, 12? Now everyone plays them, because everything is gamified too. Everything on our phones, our apps and programs online has a little gamification. They call it gamifying, where they make it more fun to use regular applications. But if you never mentioned it to anyone, they're not going to know who you are or what you do or what you like. So that's why I'm saying that to develop relationships, this is a good way to do it, to get the feedback. To address the email on building a healthy and lasting relationship with yourself, it's a matter of knowing and being okay with who you are. I think that's the first thing, is know yourself by learning about what you like and also learning about what you don't like and being okay with it. Hey, you know what? I like this and this and this, but I don't like this. And I'll be okay with it. Why? Some other people might think you're weird if you don't like that. Or some other people might think you're weird if you do like that. That might be true. But being okay with whether other people think it's good or bad doesn't matter. You get okay with yourself. Now, if you say, I don't like this race of people, or this class of people, or these types of people, I don't like Democrats, I don't like Republicans, I don't like libertarians. If you are like that, then you are going to get some more challenging feedback on that, because you might have some sort of judgment inside of you. But then that comes back to dealing with the unresolved pain and trauma and other unfinished business that you're carrying around that you need to address inside of you. For example, if you do have a problem with a certain race, you can ask yourself, well, where did that problem come from? Why do I have that problem? Has every person of that race given me an issue? You know, really dig into it and figure that out so that you aren't carrying around judgments that come out with other people and you don't even realize you're being offensive. I mean, this is a very broad topic, I understand, and there's a lot to explore. But trying to figure out the best way to build a healthy and lasting relationship with yourself, I do believe, comes down to just knowing what you like and what you don't like, being okay with it, and digging into that pain, digging into the unresolved traumas, digging into the unfinished business. And then after you do that, presenting the person that you are learning about, yourself, to others with a bit of fearlessness. And that's scary too. Because when you go out and do things that you like around other people that are doing things that they like, and you're doing these things because you like to do them for you, then you develop relationships. But even at the same time, like this person who wrote the email, they're not necessarily asking about developing relationships with other people. It's with yourself. And so this all ties in together, where as you present yourself, as you learn about yourself to other people and get comfortable with being that person around them, I believe you become very comfortable with yourself and are okay with yourself. Because I think a lot of us will look at somebody else's judgments or opinions and take them into ourselves and tell ourselves, oh, we're not that worthy, we're not that good, we're not that lovable. We look at other people's opinions and thoughts and judgments, and we create ourselves based on that instead of creating ourselves based on who we are inside at the deepest level, which is a discovery. I mean, I can't necessarily tell you who you are at the deepest level, except that you came out probably without hatred, without judgment, without opinions, and you developed all those later. And to discover what those are, what are your judgments? What are your pain points? What are your traumas? What are your opinions? And do you really need them anymore? It's another thing to address. Do I really need these opinions anymore? Do I need to make these opinions known? Do I need to be heard? These all may be things inside of you that you can check out, figure out, work on, learn about. Listen to shows like this, read, go to coaching, go to therapy, watch videos, everything that connects you with you. And of course, the basics. Get exercise, eat right, drink a lot of water, and work someplace that doesn't drive you crazy, and don't hang around toxic people. Those are all the basics. I think we know them, we just don't always follow them. And sometimes we're in a position where we can't follow them, but you work toward that goal every day or every month, and you get closer. And so I hope this helps. I was kind of all over the board with that one, but I can tell you from firsthand experience that going through my own healing, my own trauma, my own pain, processing it and releasing it has helped me tremendously connect with me, be comfortable with me, and be happy with me. Because when you figure out what you're holding on to that makes you feel bad, and you address it, and you work on it, and you get through it, and you figure something else out about yourself, that is really honoring yourself. That is putting the time and effort into you, as opposed to putting the time and effort into something else external that isn't really discovering anything about yourself. I mean, you can go out and do external things. You can go climb a mountain and discover a lot about yourself. And I absolutely recommend anything challenging for you, because the challenges also bring out the vulnerabilities. But don't be afraid to explore that unfinished business inside of you, because that's when you really learn about yourself. I hope this helps. Thank you so much for writing. We'll be right back after this. Well, I have to admit, I've been completely negligent about my girlfriend's needs. Probably not what you think. I told her that I'd do something, and I still haven't done it. In fact, it's probably a good thing that I'm recording this right now, because she's been reminding me every day that she is out of her native deodorant. So I need to be really cognizant of what I'm going to do next right after I record this segment. I mean, the first time they sponsored the show, we both had to try it out and make sure that not only did it smell good, but that it would do the job. So from that point on, my girlfriend has wanted nothing else but Native. So when she ran out, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, she started asking me if Native was on our shopping list. I told her, yes, it is. So here I am, and I still haven't ordered it. But I want to promise her through this podcast, through this segment, not that she listens to my show because she thinks that it's weird, but she doesn't listen to my show, but that doesn't mean I can't promise on the air right now that as soon as I get off the microphone, I'm going to go to nativedeodorant.com and order her vanilla and coconut native deodorant. And you can do this too. If you have any interest in a safe deodorant, meaning it's formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc, it's also vegan and never tested on animals, which is something very important to both my girlfriend and I. And if you are looking for something that is made of ingredients that you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter, something that actually works and keeps you smelling and feeling fresh all day long, I want you to think about making the switch to this deodorant. I mean, if you're not using Native now, just because you're switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice on performance. I mean, Native just works. It works well. They have over 10 amazing scents, including their classics and rotating seasonals, and you're guaranteed to find one you love. Their classic scents include the one I already mentioned, coconut and vanilla, which is their most popular, and they have lavender and rose, they have cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. They have something for everyone. It's for women and men, and even teens. And there's also no risk to try. They have free shipping on every order, and they offer a 30-day free return and exchange in the USA. So go to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code BRAIN during checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeodorant.com. Use the promo code BRAIN during checkout and you'll get the discount. And know that 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers who made the switch to Native, that says something. Get your 20% off today. nativedeodorant.com using the promo code BRAIN during checkout. All right, welcome back. For the next email in this episode, I'm going to read you just a portion of it. This is a person, a woman, that has been working with her husband, living with her husband, and they do everything together, and they're basically together all the time. However, they got new jobs, and she loves her new job, and he doesn't, and now he doesn't want to be away from her anymore, and she's realizing, I like to honor my boundaries, and I like this job and I like this independence and I'm honoring myself and it feels very good to be who I am in this new position, in this new space that I'm in. And he wants it back the way it was. He wants to be together again. And he's going through some challenges in his life as well. And this happened a while back, so this may not all still be true, but back then they were always together. They now work in separate places and he wants to be back together almost always. And be connected at the hip. It sounds like she didn't use those words. I did. And he did ask her, why do you want to be away from me? And so this made her feel bad. And she used to be a people pleaser, but she's learned so much about herself and she wants this relationship. It's her best friend, but she doesn't want it to be exactly the way it was. She could go back to her old people pleasing ways and always stay connected at the hip. Again, my words, but she doesn't necessarily want to. And she's having trouble trying to negotiate in her own mind the best course of action. So her question basically comes down to this. Should I wait until he's in a better place before I decide to suddenly embrace my independence after all these years? I hate to see him in pain, and I'm so tempted to give in by saying and doing whatever I need to do in order to cheer him up. But now that I've discovered this inner peace that comes with speaking your mind and honoring yourself, I don't know that I can ever go back. And then she goes on to say, I probably already know what you're going to say. Put myself first, no matter what. But losing this relationship doesn't even feel like an option. Maybe if I just wait until he's more secure before suddenly changing myself. Well, thank you for sharing that. So what I'm going to say here isn't necessarily saying like you're going to say, like, I already know what you're going to say, Paul. Put myself first, no matter what. I don't think it's necessarily always no matter what. In fact, I know it's not. Putting yourself first no matter what, there's a point where when you do that too much that people don't think you're a compassionate, empathetic, kind person. It doesn't mean you always put yourself first. It just means you consider yourself first. So you might have to put yourself second if you run into a burning building to save a crying person. And you are putting your life, you're putting yourself second in that case. You're putting someone else ahead of you. You're putting someone else first. However, the situation that you just described to me isn't a burning building. This isn't someone that's crying inside saying, help, help. And you don't have to run in to save him. You're not his savior. You don't have to be his savior. He is an adult. He doesn't need saving. Well, he might, but not from you. He doesn't need the type of saving you're talking about where you don't consider yourself and then you give up and sacrifice a big part of yourself, a big part that makes you happy for him. That's not what a relationship is about, by giving up a part of yourself that makes you happy for someone else. There are compromises in a relationship. There are things that you can do differently. But this is a major component of your life you're talking about. This is you discovering who you are and realizing, wow, this really makes me happy. A relationship is when the other person says, I like when you're happy. Do more of that. That's a relationship, in my opinion. Somebody may disagree out there, but that is definitely a major part of a relationship. Somebody says, wow, you just look so happy doing that. I want to see more of that because I love seeing you happy. And I support you being happy. I support you doing things that make you happy. How can I contribute to that? Because the people that we want to be with in relationships are just like that. And the people who carry around fear of abandonment and rejection are the opposite of that. And I carried that around for years. I'm not trying to put anyone down for that, but I carried that around. I didn't want my girlfriend, you know, my past relationships, to go anywhere without me. I wanted to be with her all the time. I was so clingy and I was just jealous sometimes and possessive sometimes and probably more times than I realize, because I just wanted to be with her all the time because she was the source of my happiness. She was the source of how I felt love. She was this source that I kept drawing all my energy from. And yes, it drained her. Every girlfriend I've had before this drained them when I was in the relationship. And this is what happens, is that you can be with someone who carries fears of abandonment, fears of rejection, fears of not being lovable, fears of not being worthy or feeling worthy. They carry the fear into the relationship and they draw it all from you. And when they draw it from you, you get drained. And so your comment about, yes, I can go back to being a people pleaser, but I don't want to. But I also don't want to lose the relationship. If you don't want to lose the relationship in a situation like this, you tell the person you're in a relationship with that you really are happy doing this. And you love them and you love this. And doing this makes you happy. Can you get their support for your happiness? I think that would be a good conversation. They might say, in this case, he might say, I want you to be happy, but I also miss you so much. I want to be with you all the time, or I want to be with you a lot of the time. You can say, I want to be with you too, and I want to do this. What can we do to work this out? And a good, healthy relationship is going to find a way to work things out. It may not always work out. I mean, you may not always get what you want when you try to work things out, but at least you talk about it. You talk about it equally, like one person's not trying to veer you one way or the other. They're trying to veer you toward happiness, because this is the important part. When you talk to someone you're in a relationship with, friend, family, romantic, doesn't matter who it is, you discover how they want you to feel. And I think that's an important way to look at this. How do they want me to feel? Well, I want you to be happy. And if this makes me happy, do you support that? Well, no, because you're not with me. Then you don't really support me doing the thing that makes me happy. You support me being with you all the time, or you support me doing this that makes you happy even though I love being with you, I love doing this thing with you, but this also makes me happy. And this allows me to connect with myself in a way I haven't ever done. I love being with you and I love doing this too. So how can we do both? And so this is a conversation that's going to be difficult to convey, to have with a person that carries fear. Because he's going to say, but I want you to be happy and be with me. Don't you want to be with me? Don't you want to see me happy? Now, at this point, there's some manipulation going on. People in fear manipulate. He wants to make you feel bad about following your path, following your dreams, and bring you back to his path. He wants you to follow his path to alleviate his fears, even though he may not use the term fear, but his behavior might come from fear. So when he says, I want you to be with me, don't you want to be with me? The answer is absolutely yes. And your reply might be, I want to be with you. That makes me happy. And I also want to do this other thing that makes me happy. Do you support that? The answer really does come down to yes or no. No, I can't support that if you're away from me. If that's the answer, then it's really a one-sided relationship and you have to conform to what he wants, if that's the path that you want to take. I don't think that's a good path. I don't think that's a good idea to conform to what somebody else wants for you if it doesn't make you happy, if it doesn't make you feel supported, if it doesn't make you feel loved. It just makes you feel controlled. And so somebody else's fear, when it controls you, you need to step up and out of that, out of their fear, and say, look, I love you, and I want what's best for you, and I want what's best for me. But what you're asking me to do is give up something that makes me happy just because you can't get enough or something. I mean, there's something deeper going on here. It's going to be difficult to let him know that his fear is driving this behavior. And I mean, there is a somewhat dysfunctional aspect of not wanting to be alone with the person that you're with. Meaning, let me rephrase that. When you are in a relationship with someone and you always want to be with them and you can't stand being without them, that neediness, that using them as your source of happiness and love is so draining. So they don't realize it's draining. Again, I speak from experience. I was just this way. I was just like this. So he is very draining on you. You feel it. And then when you were out and about on your own, you realized, oh, this isn't as draining. I feel pretty good inside myself. How are you going to bring the best version of yourself home to him if you can't experience this connection with yourself? Because that's really what it comes down to. If you can go out and experience the world and bring this happiness inside of you, that's what you bring home. That's what you bring to the people that you love. That's related to the first segment where we talked about how to live a long, healthy life on your own or how to have a long, healthy relationship with yourself. That's what you do. You find what fulfills you and you bring it into you. And then you share it with the people that you love. And if he doesn't have a lot of friends, and I think in your email, I don't think he has any friends. I think he has like one friend. That's the same type of person I was. My only friend was my partner. And I relied on her for everything. I relied on her for all my emotional states, or a lot of them. And when I didn't get it, I would draw them from her even more. And it's just too draining. So one person cannot be the source. One person cannot be everything to another person. I mean, take that quote, you are my everything, and throw it out the window. That's a romantic line, but throw it out the window. You're not my everything. You cannot be my everything. That person cannot be your everything, and you cannot be someone else's everything. It just doesn't work that way. You have to be something. You have to be a component. You have to be a fulfilling part of their life, just like they are a fulfilling part of yours. But when you become more than what you can do for someone else, that you end up feeling in deficit for yourself, that's when it becomes dysfunctional and toxic. So what I mean by that is, if you love someone and you give them love and you're compassionate toward them, but you're noticing a drain in you when you do it, then you're not considering yourself. You're not bringing it back to yourself. You're not connecting with yourself, making sure that you're fulfilled before they are. And that's a challenge sometimes, especially for the people pleasers out there, especially for the people that can't stand to see other people unhappy. So they drain their own energy to make them happy. Or the people in their life aren't unhappy, but they overplease them or overaccommodate them just to make them happy or make them like me. That's what I used to do. I wanted them to like me. So I would drain myself and give more than what I had to them. So what you're saying, this person who wrote the letter, Mary, I'm going to call you Mary. What you're saying is that you are probably getting energized not being around someone who's constantly, maybe involuntarily, draining you. So this doesn't mean the relationship ends. What it does mean is that your conversations become more honest. I can't be with you 16 hours a day. That might be what you have to say. I love being with you when we're together, but I also love experiencing life as a person, as an individual, as somebody that for a few hours a day is not responsible for someone else's emotional state. I like feeling that way. I like discovering what my thoughts are without the influence, good or bad, of anyone else. I like doing what I do around the people that I do, meeting other people with other personalities and different thoughts and ideas. Because you are not my everything. You are the one person I want to share my life with. But if you want to be my everything, you're going to fail. Just like I'm going to fail at being your everything. This is why it's so important to have more than one person in your life. Because that one person, if you're one of those draining types, you're going to drain them, you're going to push them away, and they're not going to be as happy being around you because you're using them as the source for your happiness. And I know this is challenging. If you never leave the house and you don't have any other friends or you have very few friends, it is challenging. But you know, that's what we talked about in the last segment and how to fulfill yourself. And you meet other people and it's okay to have other people in your life. It's okay to have a variety of people because one person's going to make you laugh all the time and another person's going to make you think all the time and another person is going to make you connect with your heart. And then you connect with the people that you are in your closest relationships with and you share who you are with them. But if you're always with them, then who you are is intimately connected with them and you lose your individuality. And I think that's where it can get dangerous. Dangerous is a strong word, but it can just get dicey from there. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to lose who you are and your individuality. So the best kind of conversation you can have with a loved one is to say, I like being me, and I like being with you, and I like who I am without you, and I like who I am with you. It's not this or that. It's all of the above. So that conversation, I understand, can be very difficult because if you had that conversation with me about 20 years ago, I would be like, oh no, what do you mean? Are you leaving me? What does this mean? What do you mean you're going out with your friends? Can't I come along? That's the kind of responses that you might get. And if that's the case, just remind them how much you love them, how much you care about them, how much you appreciate them in your life, and how much you want to continue living your life with them as a big part of it, as a major part of it, as the only person that you tell all your secrets to. You remind them with positive reinforcement how important they are in your life. You are so important to me and I love you so much. And I'm going to do this not because I don't want to be with you, but because I want to fill my mind and fill my heart with what the world has to offer me. And I'm going to bring what the world offers me back to you. I'm going to fill our relationship with these worldly experiences, with these other people's personalities. And I want you to do the same thing. I want to hear about your day. I want to hear how you learned about yourself through the eyes and mouths of others. I want to hear how you laughed at your friends' jokes. I want to hear how your friends are doing. I want to hear how that seminar went, how that lecture went. I want you to experience life and bring it into this relationship, just like I'm experiencing life and bringing it back to this relationship. That might be a way to go about bringing some solace to the fearful person. I love you and I want us and I want us to stay together, or I want us to continue doing what this is because I love it. And that's why you need to support what makes me happy. That's why you need to support my connection to myself and how I connect to myself. You know, Mary, he may not understand it, but you have to be honest with him. Doesn't mean you have to leave the relationship. It just means you start being honest. No, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to bring myself as this newly refreshed, recharged person back to you. So you're going to get the best of me. I promise. I wish you the best with this, Mary. Thank you so much for writing. I'm going to answer another email in the outro, and we'll see how it goes. We'll be right back after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank Native Deodorant. Head over to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code BRAIN when checking out to get 20% off your first purchase. I love it. I think you will too. And I want to thank those of you who review the show in different areas of the world on different websites that, you know, like iTunes, well, Apple Podcasts. I don't think they call it iTunes anymore. And all the other podcast players out there. I appreciate that. It helps other people know that they should listen to the show. I'm not saying that everyone should listen to the show, but I think anyone that has issues that I talk about on this show, it might be helpful to them. So it's nice when other people read your review and say how it has helped you. By this last reviewer that said, you make more sense than anyone I've heard. First of all, wow, thank you. And second of all, you haven't heard enough people. But I hope I do make sense. I hope that I continue providing value in your life. If you are a long-term listener, or if you're a first-time listener, I hope this show does bring you value. There's all kinds of topics we talk about over here. So please tune in to the previous shows and tune into my other podcast. If you have a relationship, any type of relationship that you find more difficult than it should be, go to loveandabuse.com and you'll find a podcast on emotional abuse, controlling behavior, manipulative behavior. And also that's where you'll find the Mean Workbook that I talked about earlier. So I just wanted to say thank you to those who review the show and share it with others and make the world aware that this show exists. That's how we spread the good word. And I appreciate you. I also want to thank those who give a one-time donation or continue to donate to the show over at patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. I appreciate that support, and this show continues because of that support. And I like to think that you do get value from this show, and that's how you give back. And I am grateful. I am appreciative. This is exactly how we keep going, how we keep moving. And those of you who can and do give, I am grateful for you. And those of you who can't and want to, or those of you who can't and don't want to, or just don't want to, that's fine too. I appreciate everyone listening to the show and taking care of yourself. I mean, I look at it this way. If you are into self-help, if you are into working on yourself, constantly improving yourself, then the world improves, because we are all part of the world. So when you improve, the world improves, and I live in a better world, which is a way to give back to me. So it sounds selfish, but if we all be selfish by working on ourselves and bring our best selves to the world, then the world becomes a better place. What better way to be selfish, in my opinion? But thank you, anyone that has donated, and also thank you to everyone that listens to this show on a regular basis, or even an every now and then basis. I get emails that say, you know, I don't listen to your show until I need something, until I have a problem in my life, and then I look for that specific topic, and I get guidance there, and that's awesome. I like that too. I like that people are using this show for that as well. So thank you to everyone I just mentioned. And finally, I'd like to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And I said I was going to do another email in the end here, but I read through this email and decided that it's not necessary to read it on the air, because it talks about this man who was married who was experiencing a fear of abandonment. And I thought, well, that's a great segue from our last segment, a fear of abandonment. And he says, you know, I know it's something I have to work on in myself. And I no longer put that fear on my new wife because he got a divorce because of all that and other stuff, I'm sure. But his new wife, he brought that fear into the marriage, but realized, wait, I can't put this fear onto her. And so he's, you know, thanking me for my show, which I am grateful. Thank you. And he's telling me this is his issue. And it would be nice if his wife was a little bit more accommodating and sensitive, but he knows that's his issue. It would always be nice if we are dealing with something that we're having trouble with, that we have a challenge with, that the people in our life would accommodate that somehow or be sensitive to it. And not everyone can be, and not everybody wants to be. Some people, like that person I read in one of those segments, is happy with her life and moving into this space of her life of being independent and being in a relationship. And she's having the best of both worlds, or she wants the best of both worlds. So here's someone that says, you know, it would be great if I could have someone that understood my fear of abandonment and held my hand all the time, my words. But he also realizes, wait, I got to deal with this. I got to work through it. So I figured this last segment, during the outro, I can talk about how exactly do you get over a fear of abandonment? I mean, that's a big subject all by itself, and I know I've talked about it in other episodes, but one of the things that came to mind while I was preparing for this segment is one of the ways I got over my fear of abandonment is, and this is going to sound a little bit general, a little bit more common sense, but I'll explain why in a moment, is to develop a hobby or something recreational that I appreciated doing so much that I actually couldn't wait for my partner to leave so that I can continue doing it. So the common sense thing is, hey, develop a hobby. Get into something that you enjoy. Do something for you. But I add on to it, do something that you love doing so much that you can't wait to be left alone to do it. And even if that means meeting other people and bowling and doing improv like I did a few months ago and I'm going to do again because I loved it. Doing things with other people or doing things by yourself, but doing it in a way that you love it so much that it's almost irritating to be disturbed. So don't take that the wrong way. What I mean by that is I have a hobby that I do in the basement of our house. And when I spend time on that hobby, if I'm in the middle of concentrating and doing something, it's not that she's annoying me. It's that it's an interruption enough to break me from my focus. And it doesn't upset me. It's actually welcome. And I don't mind when she interrupts me. But I have a hobby that I'm concentrating, and this is the important part, you're concentrating on so much that you're not thinking of anything else. And so this is all about being very present in what you're doing. And when you can do something that you enjoy or that you like to focus on so much that anyone else that comes along and interrupts that is actually an interruption, then what that does is helps alleviate the fear of abandonment. And so you got to be careful because there is a line that you can cross that when they interrupt, now you're getting upset. I'm not talking about that at all. And this is actually hard to convey because I don't want to make you think that when you're doing something and you're concentrating on something, when you're enjoying something, that if someone you love comes along and interrupts you, it's a bad thing. I like to be interrupted because that means she's thinking about me. And I go back to my old fears of abandonment that maybe is still lingering in there somewhere. I don't think about it, but I enjoy when she's in my space, in my life. But I get so focused on what I'm doing that I'm not thinking about my fears. I'm not thinking about being abandoned. I'm not thinking about her leaving me. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. And that changes your whole mindset. That changes your whole emotional space. It puts you in a very present space so that when you are working on whatever you're working on or playing or doing whatever it is you enjoy, that someone else's presence takes you away from that enjoyment. Not in a way that is harmful, hurtful, or upsetting or anything like that, but that takes you out of the moment, then you know you've found it. Then you know you have a space that you can be in. It's your own meditation. It's your own presence. It's your own peace of mind. That when somebody comes along and, quote, interrupts it, and that has some negative connotation, I realize, but they take you out of that space, and now your focus is on them or both the space that you're in and them, then that helps you alleviate the fear of abandonment. Now, this is mainly for people who have this fear of abandonment or fear of rejection. You start focusing on yourself. You start doing something that you enjoy, something that takes up a lot of your concentration, and you actually enjoy it or are really into it. It's harder to get lost in your fears and easier to get lost in your job or your recreation or your fun. So I hope that makes sense. I don't mean when your loved one interrupts you that it's a problem. I just mean that if you are in the space where you feel like anything that disturbs you is an interruption, or at least a break in the pattern of your mind, that you're probably on a path to less fear of abandonment. I also said fear of rejection. That's a different scenario, actually. So not so much fear of rejection, but that's kind of mixed in sometimes. But definitely a fear of abandonment, a fear of being alone. All of these things, they tend to dissipate a little bit while you're focused, while you're present, while you're enjoying the moment. Music can do that, can't it? I think music does a good job of that. Definitely hobbies that require time and effort and concentration. Like my dad used to tie flies for fly fishing. That took him hours. And he was into it. He would just be staring at this little hook that he would wrap things around and make look like a little bug. He loved it, and he made dozens of them. It made him happy. And the reason I know this works is because in my first long-term relationship, I mean, I was exactly that way. I had a fear of abandonment, and I always, always wanted to be with my girlfriend. If she's going out, I wanted to be with her. If she was going to visit her mom, I wanted to be with her. And so when I developed hobbies that I actually enjoyed with computers and technology, and I was learning about things, and I started focusing on that more and more, it was almost like I couldn't wait to have some alone time to enjoy that. Not because I didn't love her, not because I didn't want to be with her, but because something else was finally occupying my mind. And it is a lot easier to deal with other things occupying your mind to keep you focused, to keep you busy, than anything that might be along the lines of obsessing about someone leaving you or not loving you enough or not saying the right things, just having these other things on your mind. And also having a good relationship too, because you are fulfilling yourself and bringing this fulfilled self back into the relationship. So this is one component of something a lot bigger. I know this isn't the catch-all for fear of abandonment. You know, there's inner child work that we could talk about. There's a lot of self-compassion and self-love and other work that you can definitely do. But maybe this component will be helpful to you if you are experiencing any of that. I hope it helps. And if it doesn't, just, you know, keep an open mind so that you can step into your power. This will help you be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.